worship this morning. Welcome to our visitors. We do have a book if you want to sign that, and we'll get back with you with something. Not sure what. Welcome to our live stream. Welcome to Jim and Lori Bednarz for coming today and leading us in worship with a message. We got some new grandparents. Don Steiner are the proud grandparents of Aubrey Lane Helms, 6 pounds, 13 ounces. And Donnie was telling me, because he's so nervous, that he said, I think my note said 616 pounds, so he crossed it out. What a blessing from God there. So I also received from Joe Freck that he received the call letter. And we told him that if he had any questions to call, and so he did. So the first thing that he said was, I received it. I said, well, how's the weather? He said, we've got 3 inches of snow on the ground again. I said, it's 60 degrees and sunny here. So I don't know if that helped in his call process, but he's still we'll still be praying about that. And we'll get back with us on the time that is allotted for that. So just an update from there. And then also, this past Wednesday, I don't know if... has anybody seen the testimony of Wendell Heron? So if you want to see that video, it's Wendell, it's God coming through him, and it takes him, he's really going back to what God did in his life and where he's at currently with his walk. And so in that video, he kept surrendering to God, and you know, just a little bit, like we all do, right? He said, I was a good Christian boy. I went to church on Sunday, but then those other 6 days it was my day. And so, as he's speaking, you know, God is just working in me at that same time. And he would go back to God and say, when he had a problem, he was saying, so he'd go to God and God would fix that problem. And then when it was finally, he never really surrendered to Christ until maybe the fifth time. And he fully surrendered to Christ at that moment. And if it doesn't, bring tears to your eyes, just how the Holy Spirit is working through him even now. And so our call to worship then I had as, because he kept asking, you know, for surrender. And so all to Jesus I surrender. I'd like to do that a cappella, just the first verse. And we'll try to get started on the right. So if we could stand, if you're able. So we're just going to do the first verse and the refrain and let it work as our call to worship. All to Jesus I surrender, all. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we just ask that you would, that we could all surrender to you. Oh God, thank you. We just ask that you would send your Holy Spirit among us today, and that you would be glorified in our worship to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll sing our first song, Thine is the Glory, number 98. Let us bow before the Lord and confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy and ask you for Christ's sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Declaration of Grace is from John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent not the Son into the world to judge the world, but the world should be saved through him. You may be seated. first lesson is from Acts 2:14, verses 36 through 41. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. The epistle is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 25. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you are ransomed for your futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news preached to you. Please rise for the reading of the gospel. The gospel is from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 25. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered, Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, What things? And they said to him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us and went to the tomb and found it, just as the woman had said, but him they said, did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart, and believe all that the prophets have spoken. Here ends the reading of God's word. Confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe.
may be seated, and we'll sing hymn number 97, I Know That My Redeemer Lives.
Well, good morning. I thank you for welcoming me back. I applaud your perseverance, I guess, with calling me. My name is Jim Bednarz. I'm from St. Paul's in Gifford. My beautiful wife is here again, Lori. And I did pull in today, and I backed in. So I'm getting closer to being accepted, I believe. So thank you. If I'll open to prayer, and then I'll get right into the message. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what a beautiful day you've given us, the day that of freedom in our country, and the freedom that your salvation, your word gives us. Today's message is about some of the unknowns in the Bible and how, although they were unknown, their message has echoed through eternity now of what is to come. All the meetings that these people had with Christ became so important. May we, as true believers in you, Jesus Christ, as we walk through life, although a lot of people might not know our name, may our message be one of that is heard to put forth the message, the gospel, that Jesus is the only way through to salvation. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. On Veterans Day in 1921, President Warren G. Harding presided over an interment ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery for an unknown soldier who had died during World War I. Since then, three more soldiers have been added to the Tomb of the Unknowns, although one of them has actually been disinterred. It was the Vietnam veteran. Through the DNA process, they were able to actually identify him. Tomb guards come from the 3rd U.S. Infantry Regiment, the Old Guard, serving the U.S. Army since 1784. The Old Guard is the oldest active infantry unit in the military. They keep watch over the memorial every minute of every day, including when the cemetery is closed and in inclement weather. The tomb has been guarded 24/7 since 1937. There's an inscription on the tomb that reads, "Here rests an honored glory, an American soldier, known but to God, an unknown soldier." How many? I picked four specific people through the Bible. We have no idea who their names are. But God put them on an intersection between being born and meeting with Christ, written down for all of us to, as we read the Bible, we don't know who these people's names were, but we've become so accustomed to their story. Same thing as we as Christians that walk here now. We might meet people years later, they will say, I don't remember what his name was or what her name was, but she told me the most fantastic story, or through what she did, it opened my eyes to who Jesus Christ was. So the first story I have of is, who are you when you walk outside of these walls? Are you a farmer, a daycare provider, a nurse, a doctor? What is your profession? There was one in the Bible whose profession was almost contradictory to who Jesus Christ was, but yet he was able to talk to Jesus, and his message is one of faith, such great faith, that Jesus even recounts it. This is the faith of the centurion. So when Jesus, this is from Matthew 8, beginning with verse 5. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly. Now, just a real quick note, a centurion was a leader of soldiers, of Roman soldiers, diametrically opposed to what Jesus was doing at the time. But Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west, and they will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. So how about your faith? As you walk, whatever role that God has put you in here on this earth, can people look at you and say, no matter what this person has done, look at their faith. Their faith is unshaking in this Savior they call Jesus Christ. Who is he? So as you go, as you walk through this world in whatever position you're in, keep that faith. There are those who are watching you all the time. You said something about a new grandfather or grandparents. Who was that? So we have three granddaughters, and I love them dearly. But it is amazing the things that they catch, right? The things that we'll be talking about, and then later on they'll reiterate or talk about. I'm like, ooh, I didn't know those ears are open. So it's so important as we walk outside these doors. There are a lot of people who watch you, what you do, whether they know you're a Christian or not. And as we walk through this life, leading in faith, let that be the thing that you leave behind, so that years later, they might not remember your name, but they'll say, you know, I had this coworker at one time that in my time of need came and prayed with me. I was not a praying person, but they told me about this person named Jesus. But you might ask, well, what about my sins? I have these sins that other people might know about, or they know of who I am. So leads us to the unknown lady, the lady at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. Now Jesus learned from the Pharisees that had heard he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although in fact he was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. Very odd time for someone to be coming to the well at noon, because normally that was done in the morning. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? for Jews did not associate with Samaritans, which was very weird. As I read this, I'm thinking, woman at the well is a Samaritan. The person who helped the person who had beat up around on the side of the road was a Samaritan. Samaritans were mentioned a number of times, and every time you hear about them, they're doing pretty good deeds, but so I digress. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, and did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks from this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up with eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't go thirsty and have to keep coming back to draw more. He told her, go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. In fact, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. And Jesus replied, believe, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. The time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, am he. And she realizes now that this man who knows all about her is the Christ. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of what the woman's testimony. She ran back to town and said, you will not believe what this guy, this man named Jesus, knows everything I have done. He told me everything I did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. This is the best part, though. So the woman goes back to town. All these people know who she is, but she lays out her life to them. Her sins are no more. They said, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves the word of Jesus, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. So don't think that the sins that you have stop you from spreading the message of Jesus' salvation, the message of Jesus Christ himself. Sometimes for Christians, that is one of our stumbling blocks. How am I able to get up here and preach this word? I've done terrible things. If I went to the old days where we had to kill like a lamb every time I sinned or a pigeon, Peter would be all over me because they would hate me for all the animals I'd have to kill constantly because of my sin. But yet this woman, condemned of her sin by Christ, was able to see the salvation message. I retired as in law enforcement about almost 3 years ago. I was a Champaign Police Department detective. And I had all these little different intersections with people's lives at times. And the one time, it was at the end of our day, we had gas pumps in the back of our lot, so I'd fuel my squad car up for the next shift. And so a call came over the radio. They're asking for a unit to check welfare for a potential suicide subject. Typical ones getting close to quitting time, no one piped up. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll just go. So it wasn't my area, but I got my car. I went, knocked on the door. And this lady answered, and I told her, identified who I was and why I was there. We had a call about, she was potentially thinking of harming herself. And she asked me, do you believe in God? And it was the Holy Spirit. In hindsight, I said, not only do I believe in God, but I believe in Jesus. And she goes, will you come in and talk to me? So I walk in. She is a newly converted Christian who used to be a witch of all people. She literally had the black cat walking around her house. I am extremely allergic to cats. So as we spoke, starting to scratch, itch, my eyes are swollen up. I spoke to her for probably an hour. The biggest thing she could not overcome was the fact that God could forgive her of her sin. She knew of her sin. She was convicted of it. She had done things opposed to God on purpose. How could this God forgive her? But he does, because he's God. He doesn't hold her to the standard that we hold people to. Some of the stuff that people have done to us, we hold on to so dearly. We need to let it go. Jesus has released us from our sin. Our sin of yesterday, our sin of today, and those sins that we will sin again tomorrow and the day after. When Jesus was on that cross, he didn't say that I forgive Jim Bednar of his sins up to today's date. And beyond that, he's on his own. No, he has forgiven me of all my sins, past, present, and future. Just like this woman at the well, she was amazed that Jesus Christ could forgive her of her sins. Do not let your sin be your stumbling block for passing the message on of who Jesus is. He has forgiven you, and he will be forgiving those who accept him as their Lord. How about your blessings? Do you go through life letting people know that the blessings that God has given you? Jesus heals the 10 lepers. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests, and they went and were cleansed. One of them, of the 10, one, when he saw that he had been healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to them, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. How blessed are we? How blessed are you? Our country's going through a time, I understand that. But we live in such a fantastic country still. The fact that we can gather here, openly talk about Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about secret police coming in, taking us away. We live in a great town. We live in a great time. We live in a great America. The blessings that God has given you, do not overlook them. My left eye hurts. You have a right eye to look through. My left ear hurts. You have a right ear to hear. Blessings are still abounding. Go through life showing others how Jesus has blessed you, so that they might not know your name, but you've helped them out maybe in a grocery store, and they'll say to themselves, there was something about that person. They told me they were blessed and helped me. What was the blessing? This man called Jesus Christ, who said he died for their sins, blessed them, so they in turn blessed me. Only one came back. Let us be that one who returns to Jesus every day and says, thank you for what you have done for me, not only spiritually for eternity, but what you have done physically here on this earth for me every day. We just had Easter, we just had Good Friday, and finally we come to the cross of the unknown person. Two of them. They're both thieves. Unknown by name, but known by action. Both of them crucified with Christ. The soldiers also came up. This is from Luke 23. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar, and he said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. This was written above him, which reads, this is the king of the Jews, the sign. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. So do we mock God? Do we hurl insults at him, curse him at times for not doing what we want? Or are we going to be the one that, as we walk through our life, asks people, don't you fear God? Salvation day is coming. Whether you believe in God or Jesus or not, the day of judgment is coming. We are blessed. And this message really is for those who are already believers, right? We need to walk the walk. We need to go out. And maybe they don't know your name, but they'll be receiving the gospel message by what we have done. And remember that, you know, as we walk through this, we are being watched. Whether it's by our coworkers, our bosses, our children, our grandchildren, those in a grocery store, whoever. Not everyone's watching us, but maybe that one is. The one where the Holy Spirit wants you to plant that seed. You are the tool of God. We need to be acting like it. So let us be conscious of the life that we lead. You never know who will be watching. Let us be bold in our declaration of Jesus and what he has done for us in our lives. So one day, maybe, someone will think of you, maybe in your name, maybe by your actions, maybe you'll be unknown. And remember that you planted that seed. Every now and then I think about you when you're in heaven for eternity and someone comes up to you and says, thank you. And I'm like, I don't think I know you. And they'll say, you were the one that did whatever. Helped me when I was down. Said a prayer for me. You turned my life to Jesus Christ. Now, the Holy Spirit must work in their heart. We could only pass this message along. But be ready for it. Take the blinders off. Be ready to see when God is wanting us to be used. Take the earmuffs off. Listen to God's small voice. There are times where he's going to intersect us with those who are truly in need. Be ready to give the message of Jesus, either boldly, because you know it's the truth, or use the example of how he has worked in your life. Make it personal. Maybe it was how you comported yourself in your position. Maybe it'll be the openness about your failings. But your faith is still strong, even though you know you're a sinner. Maybe it will be in the way you lived your life and the blessings that God has bestowed upon you, and you freely offer those to others. And maybe it will be the acknowledgement that of those who are sinners can be saved, just like that thief on the cross. These are the messages given to us, and these are the people not named in the Bible. We don't know. They're the centurion, the woman at the well, the leper, the thief on the cross. No idea who their name is. And maybe as you go through life with this message, people won't remember your name. But you do know who knows your name. And I pray that your name is written in the book of life. That God Almighty knows your name and it's written down. Why? Nothing that you've done. Even these messages that we'll pass on to someone. That is not what we're doing it for. We're not doing it for a check mark along our name. We're doing it because of how we've been blessed and saved through Christ. But God knows your name because of your faith. Because of your faith in Jesus Christ, your name is written in the book of life. So even though you may be unknown down here, the day that you chose Jesus Christ as your Savior, the angels in heaven praised. Let that praise continue on through eternity as we as Christians go forth passing on the good news of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just pray for our shut-ins of Juanita and Joanne. And those who are in need of healing, oh God, the list is long, but we just ask that you would grant healing in Gordon and Rick and Logan and Carter and Linda and Tim, Norm, Wendell, Danielle, Dennis, Robert, Diane, Randy, Gunner, Casey, Marilyn, Michael, Ty, Blake, and Delbert. Oh God, in your mercy, we just ask that healing, if that's what you grant, Lord, but that these people would seek you in their time of need. And that when you bless them, Lord, that they would thank you for the blessings that you have done in their lives. We pray for the cradle roll of Willa, Lane, Kennedy, Elena, Madeline, and Joanna. God, we should all have a faith like a child. We pray for our church council and the decisions we make for your church, Lord, that you would give us vision and what you would have us do. Pray for the call committee of Warren, Nita, Amy, Cole, Carol, and Stuart. And oh God, we just lift up Joe and Danielle Freck as they consider a call here. We just pray that you continue to lead that whole process, Lord, and that we do not interfere. You already know the shepherd for our flock. And God, if it's Joe, then we thank you for the answer to those prayers, Lord. Pray for our nation, our government, our world leaders, and those in authority. Pray for those U.S. military and their families, and anyone that serves, first aid responders, firefighters. Oh God, keep them safe, and in your mercy, hear our prayers. It's a prayer that you taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Before I give the benediction, so I'd asked Wendell, I was texting with him when I seen the video, and asked if I could share that video. So if anybody would like to see that, you can see me after church, or if you have my number, you can text me as well, and I'll get that to you. So from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Our closing hymn, we'll sing Lead On, O King Eternal, number 451.
Thank you.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.